My beloved brethren, I pray for that same spirit that we have enjoyed so much during this conference. I should like today to address my remarks to the youth, to those of you who still have before you the greater part of this journey we call life. I hope you have decided to follow the course marked by our Savior and through his teachings. Following that course requires great effort and the help of the Lord at each step along the way. I promise you that his help always is there. In recent years, running has become a popular form of exercise throughout the world. Many run primarily for the exercise, but others run to condition themselves for well-publicized races of various distances. Perhaps the premier endurance race is the marathon, a modern-day race that had its roots in ancient Greece. Today, the meaning of the word has been broadened to include any contest or activity of great length that requires extraordinary effort and endurance. A young friend of mine, whom I will call Alan, recently ran his first marathon, a distance of 26.2 miles. He had set his goal several months in advance, learned what preparation was required, and disciplined himself to follow a rigorous training schedule. He sought the advice of experienced runners and read articles on running a marathon. He practiced running the marathon route and planned a strategy for traversing the hilly course. Finally, the day of the marathon arrived. It would be the culmination of months of training, discipline, and sacrifice. He got off to a good start in a large crowd of runners. He felt strong and confident, following his predetermined strategy. About 8 miles into the race, on a downhill part of the course, he caught up with an experienced runner, Brent by name, who had given him sound advice during his training. Alan decided to match his stride to Brent's disciplined and experienced pace. As they passed the 18-mile mark, Alan struggled to stay with Brent so that someone he knew would be by his side if he began hitting the wall. Hitting the wall means feeling a sudden urge to quit, encountering an almost tangible barrier that requires a tremendous effort to overcome. It often comes at about the 20-mile mark. For the next 2 miles, Alan kept pace with Brent. Then it hit him. He felt a sudden loss of energy, an almost overwhelming desire to stop or walk. "Stay with me," Brent said. "We all feel it at some point. You can get through it. I'll help pull you through." Somehow, Alan continued. He and Brent began to pass spectators. He knew his wife, children, and other family members would be watching about 1 mile ahead. Drawing on the strength provided by thoughts of his family, he was able to hang on until a desire to quit left him. As they finally neared the finish, Alan found the last mile to be the hardest of all. Alan and Brent crossed the finish line just 5 seconds apart. Alan was more exhausted than he ever had been, but was elated because he had beaten his goal by more than 15 minutes and had finished among the top 25 runners. In some respects, progressing through life is like running a marathon. You young people are near the beginning of your earthly sojourn. You chose to come to this earth and to be tested and proven. The end may seem too far away to concern you now, but life like a marathon requires a good start and a strong, consistent effort all of the way to the finish. Marathon runners set explicit goals. You should look ahead now and decide what you want to do with your lives. Fix clearly in your mind what you want to be 1 year from now, 5 years, 10 years, and beyond. Receive your patriarchal blessing and strive to live worthy of its promises. A patriarchal blessing is one of the most important guides in life that members of the church enjoy. Write your goals and review them regularly. Keep them before you constantly. Record your progress and revise them as circumstances dictate. Your ultimate goal should be eternal life, the kind of life God lives, the greatest of all the gifts of God. After you visualize yourself as you would like to be in 20 years from now, identify the preparation you will need. Determine to pay the price and effort money, study, and prayer. Be sure you understand the course or path you'll be taking. The ideal course of life is not always easy. Comparatively few will find it and complete it. It is not a well-marked freeway, but a narrow path, and only one entrance. The way to eternal life is straight and narrow. When I think of staying on the right path, I am reminded of Lehi's dream about the tree of life. In it, the love of God was likened to a tree that bore delicious fruit, fruit that was desirable above all others. As Nephi recorded, "And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led under the tree. Many of these people later fell away into hidden paths and were lost. But those who ignored the scoffing and ridicule of the world and held tightly to the rod of iron enjoyed the fruit of the tree." The rod of iron represents the word of God, and that leads us to the love of God. You must hold firmly to the rod of iron through the mists and darknesses, the hardships and trials of life. If you relax your grip and slip from the path, the iron rod might become lost in the darkness for a time until you repent and regain your grasp of it. Remember that success results when preparation meets opportunity in your lives. You'll not always know precisely what opportunities will come or when they will come, but you can be sure they will be valuable only to the extent that you are prepared to respond to them. You can see the equation of preparation plus opportunity equaling success in the lives of leaders in the church, government, business, professions, and hopefully in your own personal lives. Preparation is vitally important in the church, so you can do your part when called upon, and so the Lord can use you when He needs you. In life as in a marathon, you should seek the help you need. Do not depend on your own strength alone. You have never done it all you can. You have never done all you can to finish a task until you have sought help from the Lord, loved ones, church leaders, and friends. I'm sure we've all been impressed about the miracle that has occurred in our valley. Joshua Dennis, age 10, is alive today because of his own fervent prayer, faith, and overwhelming optimism. And in addition, the fact that he listened to his mother and obeyed her counsel. In addition, remember the feeling, and I call it inspiration, given to John Skinner, who led the search party to Dennis. I hope our youth will remember this great lesson of prayer as you pass through your life's journey. Relying on your own abilities can lead to the sin of pride. In the opening section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord described the wicked condition of many in the world, and I quote, "They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way and after the image of his own God," unquote. If we boast in our own strength and walk in our own way, we can slip easily from the straight and narrow path to the broad roadways of the world. Do not be misled by occasional easiness of the way, like the downhill part of a marathon. Keep close to the Lord and trust in Him during the easier times, just as you do in your uphill struggles. Marathon runners pass aid stations located along the course. They provide water, encouragement, and assistance. Without this help, many runners could not carry on. You young people also have aid stations to help you keep moving along your course. They should include your parents, other family members, ward leaders, and teachers who have run more races and are farther along the path of life. Benefit from the experience they have accumulated. Trust them, seek their advice, counsel, and support, and then listen to them. They will help you stay on your course. You young men should be grateful for the great privilege and blessing you have of bearing the Aaronic priesthood. Be faithful in your priesthood duties. They will help you prepare for greater service. I urge you, teachers and priests, to be faithful home teachers, which is a lifetime calling for all of us. You young women should participate in the Young Women Program. Learn the values of this program and apply them personally in your lives. Aaronic priesthood and young women leaders, support your parents in helping guide you through this critical part of your lives when the decisions you make have such far-reaching effects. Always be willing, even anxious, to help others. Nothing else you do will give you the same genuine satisfaction and joy within because, and I quote, when you're in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God. Ignoring the needs of others is a serious sin. Think of the words of Alma to the people of the church in Zarahemla. He asked, "Will ye persist in wearing your costly apparel and setting your hearts upon the vain things of the world, upon your riches? Yea, will ye persist in supposing that ye are better one than another? Yea, and will you persist in turning your backs upon the poor and the needy and withholding your substance from them?" Unquote. King Benjamin taught that we must care for those in need, the poor, hungry, naked, and sick, both spiritually and temporally, if we are to receive a remission of our sins from day to day, or in other words, if we are to walk guiltless before God. I suppose some of you at one time or another feel that you're hitting the wall, feel an almost compelling urge to quit, give up, or give in to temptation. You'll meet challenges, adversities, and temptations that seem to be more than you can bear. In times of sickness, death, financial need, and other hardships, you may wonder whether you have the strength, courage, or ability to continue. You young people face the same temptations that have been common throughout history, plus many others that were unknown to earlier generations. However, be sure you understand that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to resist. He does not give you challenges that you cannot surmount. He will not ask more than you can do, but may ask right up to your limits so you can prove yourselves. The Lord will never forsake or abandon anyone. You may abandon Him, but He will not abandon you. You never need to feel that you are alone. The reason to stay on course in a marathon is obvious. The reason to stay on course that leads to righteous life may be less obvious, but is much more important. In simple terms, a righteous life is the way, the only way to happiness, joy, and peace. The prophet Joseph Smith taught, "Happiness is the object and design of our existence and will be the end thereof if we pursue the path that leads to it. And this path is virtue, uprightness, faithfulness, holiness, and keeping all the commandments of God. In obedience, there is joy and peace, and as God has designed our happiness, He never will give a commandment to His people that has not given its nature to promote that happiness which He has designed." Unquote. We read in the Book of Mormon, "Men are that they might have joy." Our Heavenly Father knows the way for you to enjoy happiness and peace. The principles of the gospel mark the way. They are a gift to you, His children. On the other hand, Satan will try at every step of the way to lead you off course. His objective is to make you unhappy and miserable like he is. Vast sums of money are spent each year to package and disguise sin and evil to make them appear enticing, attractive, even harmless. However, regardless of appearances, wickedness never was happiness and never will be. Never find yourself in the position of the Nephites just a few years before the birth of the Savior. They sought for that which they could not obtain. For happiness in doing iniquity, which thing is contrary to the nature of that righteousness, which is in our great and eternal head. Unquote. You cannot find happiness in sin and iniquity. The Lord has given you the gift of agency and instructed you sufficiently to know good from evil. You are free to choose and are permitted to act, but you are not free to choose the consequences. With absolute certainty, choices of good and right lead to happiness and peace, while choices of sin and evil eventually lead to unhappiness, sorrow, and misery. An obvious parallel between life and a marathon is the necessity to run diligently and endure to the end. Among his final words to his people, Nephi told them, And now, after ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. Ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ and endure to the end. Unquote. I think of this promise of the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Unquote. You have that promise. My dear young friends, I pray that the Lord will guide and strengthen each of you in running your personal marathon. Then you can say, as Paul wrote to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I know that you can live righteous lives and with the help of the Lord do all that you should do. I bear testimony that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ love each of you and want you to be happy. Joseph Smith is the prophet of the restoration of the gospel in these latter days, and President Ezra Taft Benson is the prophet today. This is the church of our Lord and Savior. I am one of his witnesses. I bear this humble testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.